neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor?
And the answer is yes. Yes, I will, Mr. Rogers. Thank you. He hasn't been with us since 2004 when he went to be with the Lord, but hey, he still kind of can help us set a tone. And I think a great lead-in today, my friend Jason Kanz, into developing a with mindset, your latest piece that you've got posted at jasonkanz.com and elsewhere on social media. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to hear your voice this morning.
Yeah. I told you just off the air moments ago when Mr. Rogers was singing the idea that in my mind, I think, you know, it'd be great to call Jason and just kind of have some off-air fellowship before we go on the radio and let everybody else listen in on our best 5 minutes of the day conversation. But I got a lot going on here. I really do. So trust me.
Yeah. So yeah, and you know, what would be even better is to be able to meet face to face and embrace soon.
Someday. It happened before. It really did. So yeah. you had an interesting piece up, and I want to talk about it. Start talking about it today. We'll see how far we get. It's called Developing a With Mindset. You probably have posted this on Twitter. I think you have on Facebook. It's at jasonkanz.com, right?
Yep. Yeah,
all right.
I have it in a few different places.
So we're not going to read through the whole thing, but initially describe, because there's the, you know, you're Dr. Jason Kanz, so there's kind of diagnose the problem, and then we'll get into some of the prescription.
Yeah, so I think, again, this is something that's been stirring for me for a long time. You know, as I look at our culture and I look at church in America and as I look at my own heart, I think there's this tendency for us to live in pretty divisive ways. You know, I think in the past, we didn't quite have as many opportunities to so strongly and publicly express our opinions as we do in this age of social media. But what's happening is as there are more people on the planet and we all have kind of this leveling through social media like Facebook and Twitter, people have been, and myself included, very loudly expressing opinions, often in a way that is carries with it some animosity, a lot of anger. We look for people to fight with. We're all loudly proclaiming our opinions. And, you know, I think it's we fail to see the effect that these loud opinions are having upon us and upon one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we fail to recognize the degree of influence propaganda has on us.
And you have to decide. I mean, we're both Bob Goff fans. Some wonderful books from him, right? Love Does and Everybody Always. Who Should You Love? Everybody Always. And so, and I think that's where you got the phrase, and I've heard you say it, and I had somebody just pray it for me yesterday, and a group we were a part of last night, the idea of becoming love, right? I mean, isn't that fair to say? I mean, if you're a Christian, isn't that what we should all want? I mean, C.S. Lewis talked about becoming little Christ. I mean, you just talked about earlier this week, I think John 13, 34, and 35, about, you know, love one another as I have loved you. So if that's our aim, then we got to, as your column says, kind of be checking ourselves on this.
Absolutely. You know, just before I was talking to you on the phone this morning, I was reading through Galatians 5 again, and that's spot on. I mean, it's we are vessels of the Holy Spirit. You know, Christ lives in us, and we are people who are called to lives of love. And I think, as Bob Goff says, and I've happily adopted that phrase, is becoming love is, I think, our principal purpose.
Yeah. Now, I'm just going to pause and interject that so often what gets in the way, I say this to my wife, and it's just so true because, like, marriage is, I think, the acid test for that. Do you agree? mean, it really is.
Absolutely. I think our closest relationships are the places where we see this stuff play out most strongly. And marriage would definitely be the one we are one with is the one we end up fighting with.
So I want to, we're actually going to spend we're going to spend multiple days on your column because we're not even going to get to prescription one today because I want to confess. I need to confess. And I've said this before, and it's just true, and you tell me if you agree or disagree. I tell my wife, I love you, I mean it, but here's the problem, Jason, as it works out in the sanctification process, I come too often to the ugly truth that I love myself more.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I can echo that a lot. You know, I think especially when there's pressure put
yeah,
on it.
When things
are screwed down a little bit, all of a sudden that self-centeredness tends to boil up. I think I'm doing well, and then, my goodness, all of a sudden that irritability, anger, what about my rights concept pops up.
So, yeah, exactly. So that's the problem, and I think that's where sanctification, right? And so we're going to close on this today, at least. But that in confusion, I just need to be reminded of this because it's so true. I get way too much confusion and disappointment in my life. But our friend Larry Krebs, who's been on Focus on the Family the last 2 days, says, oh, Mark, but God's growing your faith in confusion. And, oh, the soil of disappointment, he's growing your hope. And the conviction of your own self-centeredness, he's growing your love. So I guess good things are at work.
Yeah, I just don't like the process.
I know it. I know it.
Yeah.
Well, you referenced the Holy Spirit, and I think the perfect song this morning that God laid on my heart is Francesca Battistelli, Holy Spirit Come. More on developing a with mindset. It's really good. People should go read it at jasoncans.com. Thank you.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So you came in here into the studio, and you had this smile on your face because you saw this bright green box of cereal.
Sour Patch Kids cereal.
You just said in the last week that you like the sour
candy. I love sour candies. I love Sour Patch Kids. This is going to be interesting. I'm excited to try. It says it's sour then sweet. I don't know about
We were gifted a couple of boxes, and none of the kids in our house, they like a lot of the
sugary cereals.
You probably should steer clear of. But that one was not a big hit. But you've expressed your enjoyment for the sour, and so... My wife said, do you know anybody? I mean, bring this somewhere. And I'm like, Hillary and Caleb can fight over it.
My favorite part so far is that there's a game on the back of the box.
Okay.
Because it harkens back to when I was a child.
Yeah.
We didn't have cell phones to stare at over the phone, you know, over the breakfast table.
Oh, yeah, right.
So we did the things and the activities on the back of the cereal boxes.
I remember. Listen, girl, I'm older than you.
Yeah.
By a whole lot of years.
So this takes me back. I can't wait. It's like a create a story. Oh, it's a Mad Libs. There's Mad Libs on the back of this box.
Well, that's fun. We'll have to check it out. Maybe that's
whimsical.
Kayla's been inviting listeners to do that, right?
There you go. Yes. Super fun.
Very good. And
thank
just
you,
real quick,
sir.
I know you haven't updated your gratitude journal lately, but again, I like to say, to remind people, you're only going to be as joyful as you are thankful. And people want to be joyful, but thankfulness is the way. And I think a couple of things about how to deal with COVID-19 that you have modeled. One is that I like the whole... Takeout Friday that you did. That's great.
Yes.
And, I mean, you just kind of make up your mind and go with it. I mean, you're a good, strong leader in that regard. And then also the gratitude journal, and you were public about it. You didn't just keep it private. So.
Absolutely.
And so, did you find that? I mean, because you said the research clearly does show.
Oh, yeah. No, I've gratitude journaled over the years, and it really, really, really does help. It really does help. And there's lots of scientific proof of that. So, who am I to fight
times.
With that? So,
challenging times. So.
Yeah. The Takeout Friday really helps, too. It's amazing how the Takeout Friday, like, it becomes a topic of discussion throughout our household all week. And, and what we did is we drew names at the beginning of this little adventure to determine what who gets to pick each Friday. So we're going in order. It's finally my week.
Oh, it is.
It is. So I get to pick. And the pressure, the children are like, but Mom, what about the and last week my daughter was it was her day to pick or her week to pick. And she was like, well, but Mom, if you're going to pick this place, then I'm going to pick that place because I don't want that style of food 2 weeks in a row. So I need to know what kind of food you think you're going to get, Mom. I'm like, it's a week and a half away.
Yeah, she's a planner.
Yeah, so am I.
She
gets it from me. Yeah.
Thank you. All right, Hillary, back with us after 7. It's also Get to Know Your Customers Day, High Five Day, and there's a whole big explanation with that. It is, in a way, a day to be aware of stress awareness. Wear pajamas to work day. We are not. We've got clothes on.
I know a lot of people that are, though.
Yeah, yeah. Save the elephant, Egg Benedict, and Day of the Mushroom. It's all today. WWIB, good to have you aboard here for the WIB Wake Up Show. It is a Thursday. It's the 16th day of April. And Hillary, what do we got this morning?
Well, I was in the grocery store the other day, and actually a couple weeks ago, and we're trying to open the little produce bags. You know the bags you put your produce in?
They're hard to open
if you don't lick your fingers.
And my wife has always told me, it's like, no, put our produce in the bags.
I know. So I'm standing there, and I'm trying to get this bag open, and there's this other guy. I look up, and he's trying to get his bag open, and we're both, like, so super hyper-focused on trying to, and he looks up, and he sees me, and we look at each other doing this weird thing with our fingers, trying to open this stupid bag, and he's like, I just really want to lick my fingers. I said, I know. I really want to lick my fingers, too, and we can't. He says, I know. So we really struggled with this, and it just hits home, like, how many simple things are we doing that are so complicated now?
Right? I mean, and again, so I was going through the bank drive-through yesterday, and again, so appreciative of our owners, the stewards here, and continuing to employ us when a lot of radio stations are furloughing folks, and so we're just so grateful for being able to be part of this ministry. And so
Amen.
I was cashing my check. Yeah. And,
I don't want to be furloughed just because he complimented him, but go ahead.
But I was cashing my check, and so I've always thought, you know, you can, like, send your check card in with a little whoosh thingy, the little tube.
Yeah.
But I always thought it helps out a little bit more if you actually write the things on the deposit ticket. And first thing I thought is, how many other people have touched this pen?
And then my thought when he's telling this story is, how many people have put this pen in their
mouths? Yes, because I put pens in my mouths like a toddler, and I have bitten back, pun intended, that tendency when I'm at the bank. But then I'm trying to get the deposit ticket, and there's a stack of like 150 in there, paperclip together. And you know what I normally do?
Lick your finger
and pull it out. And so, like, I'm scrabbling with this thing, trying desperately to get it loose without licking my finger. And I just thought, wow, the things we took for granted before that we could just lick our fingers anytime we wanted.
Well, a major restaurant chain had that as their slogan, finger licking good, right?
Yeah.
And I remember a football coach back in the day, George Allen with the Redskins, his son went on to be a politician, elected official in Virginia. That was what he was known for, was like on his sideline.
Drew Brees does that all the time. Yeah. Famous quarterback, fellow believer, licks his fingers right before he goes up to the huddle.
Sports. Remember the bobblehead, the spitter guy, the spit ball.
Yeah.
See?
You got that one.
Yeah.
All the things that we can't do for now. I can't wait till I can lick my fingers again.
Hillary, great seg, because bobblehead, we'll talk about the Dr. Burks bobblehead with a cause unveiled. Phil Sklar is the CEO and co-founder of the Bobblehead Museum and Hall of Fame in Milwaukee. Coming up next hour. All right, well, it certainly has been a tough time. The word unprecedented has been used now an unprecedented amount of times to describe the last month or so. We weren't here in World War II times, so we don't know. But this is completely different. And so it sparked some creativity, some song. This is a Hawaiian eighth grader by the name of Melody Hamilton. It's called Mr. Sandman, Bring Us Vaccines. She's super talented. Yeah, sings all four parts.
Mr. Sandman, it's breaking my heart. We're giving handshakes from 6 feet apart. The supermarkets are in a caper. Like even Amazon is out of toilet paper. Sandman, I'm so alone. Now legally I cannot leave my home. And I am sick of this old place. Mr. Sandman, don't touch your face.
We've all realized how much we do that, right?
Right?
Right? My biggest hobby, I think, is touching my face. Gracious.
Mr. Sandman, bring us this cure. And you'll go down in history for sure. We'll tell the world just how you inspire us. For helping us defeat coronavirus. 7, we're wasting away, the race increasing by more every day. And how I pray I don't get sick. Bring the cure and bring it. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Bring the cure and bring it here quick.
Well done, Melody.
I'll tell you what, Melody Hamilton, an eighth grader, can see why that went viral, singing all four parts.
Fun.
Well, we're in our vehicles a lot, maybe not as much recently as we typically are, but America's most stolen cars by state in Wisconsin, it's the Dodge Caravan. We're the only state in the country where the Dodge Caravan is the most stolen vehicle. Caleb, what do you drive?
I drive a 2002 Dodge Caravan, Mark.
Okay,
highly desirable.
He's emphasizing the year. He's like, don't try to steal mine.
Highly desirable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, okay, probably should. I was just saying it's getting kind of old. It's getting kind of rusty. Put some money into it for brakes, and I feel like there might be something like if someone did happen to kipe it, and I'm not saying that I leave the keys in it overnight, and I'm not saying where I live, but I feel like there might be some insurance money that might come my way if that were to happen. I'm just kidding. Insurance fraud is not a joke.
Absolutely. I got to say, I never had my car completely stolen. However, staying at UW-Eau Claire years ago on a Saturday night into a Sunday, it was a youth leadership event, if people remember Hobie, and lo and behold, I go out and somebody stole the left rear wheel of my Honda Accord. Yeah, I'm not
really?
Kidding.
Just somebody the left rear wheel?
Yes, the left rear wheel was gone. Completely gone. And so that was one instance where that was...
Did they leave a note where it's like, my spare was gone, I had to, bro.
Another time, parked in Tulsa, where my mom is, shout out to her, a listener on web.com, and she'll remember parking on the street and then waking up the next morning to find out somebody had smashed in the back window.
Oh, no.
And seemingly the thought was, I was told, that they were going to try to steal the airbag, which they didn't do. But they smashed the back window, seemingly with an intention to steal the airbag that you then try to sell.
Oh.
So those were...
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, those were some things.
We're so sheltered,
I think. Well, and this is the thing. I'm like, well, I just grew up in Rice Lake. But then I do remember when our, ironically... Dodge Caravan, the old boxy kind, did get broken into and someone stole our radio. That was a traumatic part of my childhood.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
So.
Huh.
Top five most stolen vehicles. Number 5, Toyota Camry. Number 4, Chevy pickup full size. Number 3, the Ford pickup full size. Number 2, Honda Accord. What do I drive? Honda Accord. Number 1, Honda Civic.
Interesting.
What does my daughter drive? Honda Civic. So there you go.
Yeah. Stay safe out there, friends.
It's a crazy world.
Lots of cars.
Yeah.
So it's good.
Cars. Yeah. Good policy.
Music from Switch on a Thursday. WIB Wake Up Show, WWI. 8:17, 29 degrees, and glad to be joined on the air by Phil Sklar. He's the co-founder and CEO of the National Bobblehead Hall of Fame and Museum. And I got to say, saying that a bunch of times this morning, Phil, getting ready, it's a mouthful sometimes, bobblehead. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you on. What conceived of the idea of having a Hall of Fame and a museum for bobbleheads?
Yeah, it started out with, collecting. I started collecting at a young age. My dad got me into collecting baseball cards, and that transformed into bobbleheads. And when the collection grew, me and the other co-founder, to about 3,000, and they were taking over the kitchen of our condo, we said, hey, we got to do something about this. At the same time, we were also... We produced our first bobblehead, had a great experience with that, so we combined the two ideas and sought out to have a Hall of Fame and museum dedicated to bobbleheads.
Now, Phil, I know you guys are temporarily closed due to the coronavirus, but on social media or YouTube elsewhere, are there ways that people can still connect with you and kind of get their full bobblehead experience?
Yeah, so the physical museum is closed. We've been closed since our last day was the 14th of March, but people can still take a virtual tour and walk through the entire museum. You can't see them as close as you can in person, but you can get a feel for it and then hopefully be able to join us when we reopen soon. But we're on all the social media platforms as well, and we're also coming up with the new bobblehead ideas, probably more now than before because we have a lot of free time.
Okay, I have to ask this. When I visit your museum, because I love quirky museums, so this is not an if, it is a when, am I allowed to touch them and make them actually bobble their little heads? Because that's my favorite part.
So we are in an older building, and we set up the shelves so when you walk by them, there's sort of that vibration that
makes
a little bobble. So you don't really get to touch them, but you do get to see them babble. So it's sort of
oh, it just sounds magical.
And I guess with the social distancing and the coronavirus, it's probably a good thing people aren't touching. And
yeah.
All right, coming up, more with Phil Sklar of the National Bobblehead Hall of Fame and Museum. It's in my hometown of Milwaukee. I appreciate that. And coming up, we're going to talk about the Dr. Fauci, which is, I think, the best-selling bobblehead. And there's a new one just released yesterday. What is it? We'll tell you in just a moment. Phil Sklar, our guest on the WIB Wake Up Show. He is the co-founder and CEO of the National Bobblehead Hall of Fame and Museum in Milwaukee. And you can visit it virtually, the site bobbleheadhall.com, bobbleheadhall.com. So Dr. Fauci, Phil, became the best-selling bobblehead doll you've got. And now you've got another one that's come on that we've seen on the TV almost daily here lately, right?
Yeah, so Dr. Fauci, we within a week of releasing it, became our best-selling bobblehead, raising over $100,000 and counting. Now we're at about $130,000 to support the 100 million mask challenge. So we just wanted to do something that makes some small impact.
That's great.
And ended up being bigger than we expected. But yeah, then yesterday, and we kept getting requests for the Dr. Birx bobblehead. So we released her bobblehead complete with the scarf yesterday, and that one's going well. I don't think she'll reach Dr. Fauci level. He just has that sort of status right now that everybody is talking about him. But she's definitely going to be a good seller.
I'm hoping that you can do like a boxed set of them, because I want like the whole collection of these.
Yeah, we are looking at others for sure. There's so many characters out there, so many people who have been really doing a great job leading the nation and trying to get us through this. So that we've been seeing every day. And Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, there's some governors out there we're looking at. There's other frontline people. So it'll be definitely more coming soon.
Phil, if I was narcissistic and wanted to get a bobblehead of myself, could you do that?
Oh, yeah. So people can go on the website and you can order them right now, completely customized, or choose from one of hundreds of different body styles. And they make great gifts and really fun, something that somebody who has everything definitely would be a great gift for them.
There you go.
Fantastic.
You might not get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, but hey, having your own bobblehead doll would be pretty cool. People can learn more at bobbleheadhall.com, bobbleheadhall.com. Thanks for the good work and fantastic cause, 100 million mask challenge. Thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having us. Have a great day.
Phil Sklar.
Thanks, Phil.
Be fun to visit for sure when they're open someday.
I've had a couple of instances in the past week where I see people in society becoming unhinged, and it bothers me. I understand we're all under a lot of stress, and so for my part, I'm trying to give people so much grace and kindness and prayer. Honestly, I am praying for the man in his car yesterday who was recording me with his cell phone and making gestures. I obviously made him unhappy. But lots of people are starting to just come unglued.
And again, it's like this pressure cooker. It's the shaking, right? And it shakes out what's already inside of us. And unfortunately, sometimes we're seeing, and I'm not just saying everybody else, sometimes I'm seeing in my own heart the overflow, the spill out. I don't like what I see. And so it's a great time for reflection to say, Lord, I am so thankful for the sacrifice of Christ that cleanses me from all of my sin and makes me more and more look like you, because I'm looking in the mirror not liking what I'm seeing. So.
Right. And I mean, I am not perfect, but please know that I was not purposefully trying to anger this man in this car. It was not my intent.
He has to know that, like, recording you on his cell phone while he was driving was at least as unsafe as whatever you were purported to do.
Well, so yeah, you know, there was a lot going on. But let's just all give each other grace. There's a 911 dispatcher in Colorado. Crazy, stressful job, rewarding and exhausting. She works the night shift, and she's raising three young children during a pandemic, okay? A note was left on her windshield. Shall I read it, Caleb?
Yeah, I've already heard it, but go ahead. People need to know.
Let's not judge each other, people. Okay, this is what the note says. In all caps, please stay home. It goes on to say, I noticed that a few days a week you leave in the morning with your baby and return home a short time later without it. Then I see a man of the house arrive with the baby later in the afternoon while your vehicle hasn't moved all day. This leads me to believe that the kid is in daycare. Stop. I am assuming this man has an essential job since he has gone all day, but if you are home, there is no reason for your child to be in daycare at a time like this. I also see you leave shortly after your husband, I assume, gets home. You aren't wearing any sort of uniform, and I have never seen you wear a mask. Bars are closed and you couldn't possibly be getting groceries every night, which would also require you to wear a mask. So again, I ask you to please stay home. Also, do everyone in the neighborhood a favor and keep your older kids inside. They are loud. Help do your part in keeping our town safe and stop leaving your home. Sincerely, all your neighbors.
She's a 911 dispatcher working overnight.
Yes.
Keeping
people
safe.
Her baby is going to daycare because she needs to sleep during the day so that she can keep us all safe. Dispatching 911 calls only. Can we not judge each other?
Can we all take a deep breath? Can we remind each other again in hard times like this, or even in the good times we had before? You never know what battle someone is facing, what they are fighting, what they are dealing with, and it's so easy to just assume things about others too. But show grace, show love.
And I've thought of it. Okay, so honestly, I've lost a lot of weight, friends. I've lost a lot of weight. Spring is coming. I have literally no clothes that do not fall off of my body at this point. I really need to buy some clothes. I live in fear of going to Target and getting clothes because they're non-essential in so many people's eyes. But I literally have one pair of jeans. One. That is it. And one pair of dress pants. That is like literally all I own. And so if you see people doing things that you think are like non-essential, know that they might be essential in some way for their well-being.
There you go. Maybe just, you know, as I'm sure my parents told me at some point, just keep your nose in your own business. Control what you can control. Make your corner of the world a little better place. Be alive.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.